Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This is a show about you, about what matters most in life, our mind, thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I'll bring you the latest research about the effect of divorce on children. And then I'll speak to Danielle Henderson, the founder and the CEO of Kids Soul Speak. She's the author of Kids of Divorce. You can call us to speak to Danielle or I on the studio line, 951-922-3532. Be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and share it with your friends. Go on my YouTube channel, go on fujian.com and the YouTube channel and check out all the shows and previous shows. And you can also go to KMET's podcast and listen to all the previous show. I just want you to know how grateful I am to have you listening, whether you're driving, you're listening at home or wherever you are in the world. I appreciate you and thank you. We'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
So this is Tip of the Week. Now this week, I've experienced this matter and I've heard it from my clients and I've been the recipient of this state from others. So I thought I would love to share it with you. Have you ever had the feeling that you just have no patience for people, or that you have no patience for a few particular people? Have you ever been in a position that you wanted the attention of a friend, a mate, a family member, a boss, and a coworker, and you experienced that they're short and have no patience for you? So I'm looking at both aspects, right? Sometimes you just don't have patience for anybody, and sometimes you really want people's attention and they're not there. When we experience no patience for others around us, it might be that we're tired or bored or bottom line, just no longer interested in the conversation. At times we can physically be tired and no longer have the energy to spend on other people. At times we're mentally preoccupied and just can't focus on others' conversation. And it appears that it is an intrusion in our own psyche as we're trying to figure out something in our own head. At times, we're emotionally overwhelmed and have no more capacity to handle someone else's emotions or think that they just don't understand us. When emotionally overwhelmed, we might be so self-absorbed and already full that we may have no capacity for others' emotions at that time. At times, we fixate people and assume that people are just saying the same thing over and over as before, and there's just no newness in their conversation, and therefore, we lose interest. At times, we have other priorities and cannot make the person in front of us a priority. What other ways do you experience not having the patience for others? Other side, the experience of being pushed away, not seen, not heard, hurried, neglected, belittled, and many more come up when we're the recipient of someone else's impatience toward us. Feelings of fear, anxiety, shame, sadness, anger, frustration, disappointment, and many more might be experienced by being the one who needs or desires to gain some attention and does not. What are some of the feelings or experiences that you have experienced when you've been the recipient of somebody else's impatience? So I have suggestions for you. I suggest for someone who's getting impatient to become honest with themselves and respect their own needs, and then communicate clearly to the person what type of attention you could offer and the actual reason of why you would not want to pay attention at this time. Simply get interested in who you are as well as them. Get courteous and either pay attention or tell them kindly and authentically what is going on with you that just does not allow you to pay attention to them. If you are a recipient, I suggest actually pay attention to the person whom you're asking attention from and see what's going on with them. Share with them your experience of them not being present, and you wonder if there's anything going on with them. Request for them to pay attention to you. Request from them to share with you what it is that's going on, and what is it that they heard from you when you were speaking, and that you love to hear their opinion. Get them engaged. If that doesn't work, respectfully remove yourself, respect their space, don't take it personal. So paying attention to each other is the biggest gift that we can give to one another. And give the gift of yourself to your surrounding and receive the amazing gift of love that's around you. We'll be right back with the latest research about the impact of divorce on children's education.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
You're listening to Inner Voice. So the conventional wisdom holds that when parents divorce, their children's education success can be derailed. But research led by UCLA sociology professor Jenny Brand suggests that divorce's effect on a child's education varies widely depending on several factors, especially the family's socioeconomic status. According to the study, which was published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, children whose schooling is most affected are those whose parents are not statistically likely to divorce based on socioeconomic status and other factors. Typically, those that fall into a more advantaged socioeconomic status. What? Really? I never thought of that, but it's really interesting. So join me. We're going to read more. Meanwhile, divorce tends not to change educational outcomes for children from less advantaged families. Poor and disadvantaged kids are more likely to experience divorce, research noted. Our findings suggest that divorce is just one of the many hardships that disadvantaged families face, which makes the event less disruptive. That's really interesting. So Dr. Brand, who's also the director of the UCLA California Center for Population Research and the co-director of UCLA Center for Social Statistics, and her co-authors examined data on the family and socioeconomic backgrounds of 11,512 children and 4,931 mothers from the National Longitudinal Study, Longitudinal Survey of Youth and National Longitudinal Survey Child Mother File, a U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics program that began in 1979 and has continued to follow respondents ever since. They found that the mothers who were most likely to get divorced were women who themselves grew up in single-parent families, who have inflexible work hours, or who have depression or depressive symptoms. Divorce was also more likely when spouses were of different races or had different levels of educational success. In conducting the analysis, the researchers divided the families into three groups: those whose parents were more likely to get divorced, based on the demographic and socioeconomic factors. The second group were those whose parents were less likely to get divorced, and those in the middle. So in families in the unlikely to divorce group, children of divorced parents were 6% less likely than children of non-divorced parents to graduate from high school and 15% less likely to complete college. But for children in the likely to divorce group, there was virtually no impact on their likelihood to graduate from high school or college if their parents' marriage ended. The paper noted that children in that group already have lower levels of academic achievements, so a divorce generally didn't make things better or worse for them. Dr. Brand says that the findings should make people rethink the notion that there's a universal value in parents sticking out a failing marriage for kids who already have a deck stacked against them. We try to discourage rhetoric such as, if these disadvantaged kids whose parents who stayed married, they would be doing great, because that's just not the case. Marital stability isn't a solution without addressing socioeconomic and other disadvantages among these families, as we don't see much difference for disadvantaged kids whose parents did and did not divorce. There are just so many other factors that are leading to their educational disadvantages. Although Brand says that the results were expected, she was surprised to how little an impact divorce had on the families where divorce was statistically more likely. Brand said that the findings could potentially be used to create better public policies and to inform the public at large. For some families, staying together may have positive impact on children, while for others, we may not see increase in children's psychological well-being after the divorce, even if there's a negative financial impact. It's clear through the study and other research that there's no one right answer for every family. In my own practice of 30 years working with couples going through a divorce, what I've really seen is that children grow in an environment that is already healthy. So if you wanted to stay together because of your children, you really have to work on the environment of your marriage and work on yourself. I've worked with people who they've been in the same family, they live together just because of their kids. But if one of the parents were completely depressed, and the other one was completely just neglecting and not at home, that environment was worse than a divorce, because at least in a divorce, they get to experience something else that each parent might actually, or each and everyone or one of them might actually feel healthy, and they will have one parent that is healthy versus staying in an environment that both parents are not healthy. Plus, the divorce really, really hits children when parents, whether they can be together or not, that they're constantly fighting, and they bring the children in the middle and put the children in the space that they have to do their dirty job of communication, negotiation, and battles in the middle. Now, this is disruptive to children, whether they are at the same house, this under the same roof, or divorced and separated and going back and forth into. They will get harsher experience if they just lose a parent to the divorce, such as one parent just doesn't show up and they don't come in, or they fight so much that one of the parents just chooses not to be with them and gone. So It's very complicated. It's not a one simple formula that this is what happens. And yes, divorce affects children, but marriage also affects children. So I would start with, how does the marriage affect children versus the divorce? So I'm excited to speak with Danielle Henderson. She's the founder and CEO of Kids Soul, Kids Soul Speak. She's the passionate advocate for our youth all over the world, and she's driven to support their voices being heard and help them to understand their value and self-leadership. She speaks in schools, colleges, universities, and businesses globally and coaches families to unite, come together, and live in harmony. Her first book is Kids of Divorce. So we're going to talk a lot about divorce and kids and what happens to them. Kids of Divorce is 11 short stories told by our youth across the planet, sharing their soul, experiences of their parents' divorce, and gifting their wisdom to families going through it. Her other books due to for release 2019, anytime now, The African American Kid and Kids of Religion. And Danielle is currently filming the Kids Soul Speak documentary film with educators, kids, teens, celebrities, and global thought leaders who deliver their messages of unity and love and understanding for our youth. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com. Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the awareness path to create the life you want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian Zain. I am Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am excited to have Danielle Henderson, the founder and the CEO of Kids Soul Speak and the author of Children's of Divorce, actually, are here with me and the kids of divorce, 11 short stories told by our youth across the planet. And she is actually on audio with us. Welcome to my show, Danielle.
Good afternoon, Dr. Sujan. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. I've been watching some of the YouTube regarding the book and regarding the documentary, and it's wonderful. I'm sorry we couldn't have your beautiful face for people to see, but we'll have your picture, actually, so that hopefully they'll see your beautiful picture. So tell me a little bit about your book about kids of divorce, and what is it that your experience was in interviewing these children around the world about their experience of divorce?
Well, divorce is so prevalent in every country, you know, pretty much on the planet, especially in the Western world. The divorce rate is up to over 50% of marriages break up, and that's including second and third marriages too, especially within the military. And so these children are walking around our planet with so much guilt and shame that they're carrying from their own parents' pain. And I myself have gone through divorce with my children and was just so mindful of how it really affected my children. And even though I'm a mother, I'm a therapist, and I've worked with children my whole life, I felt it was really important to help them share their voices more from the heart. And so I interviewed, as you said, children from around the world so they could really say, this is what happened, this is how I feel, this is what I wanted to say to my mother that I couldn't, this is what I want to say to my dad that I couldn't. And at the end of each chapter, each child gives their wisdom to the other children and teenagers around the world who are going through this journey.
Mm-hmm. So when you, I'm a children of a divorce. My parents divorced when I was six. And to this day, I'm truly happy that they got divorced, because I would have been really mentally ill if they would remain together. But I do also work for 30 years with children and families who are getting divorced. And there are components that would really be worse for a child to stay in a sick an unhealthy environment where, just under the umbrella of marriage, two people stay and completely abuse each other and the children. Or sometimes, you know, you look at a divorce being healthier than the environment they have. Obviously, when we look at the best scenario, and an ideal scenario is that people would consistently work on their own marriage, so that if they are creating an environment for their children, that they are responsible for their that environment. But there are some times that divorce for the children might be even healthier. So can you, based on not only being a therapist and working, but also this extensive interview that you have had done with the children around the world, and what are some of the key effects that parents should know while they're getting, you know, while they're married and in conflict? So obviously we're talking about people who are in married and conflict and looking into consideration of divorce. And some of them say, we will get divorced, or some of them will say, we'll just stick it through because of, because of our children, or they get divorced. And then, you know, how should they be after that?
You know, children know everything. They are these amazing, intuitive little beings, and even in their, you know, into their teens and their young adult life, you can't really, as an adult, hide your true feelings for your husband or your wife from your children. And so they take on a lot of the emotions. And even those parents that say, we will pledge to stay together until the children leave for college, even that can have a harmful effect on the mental and emotional health of the children inside of that marriage, inside of that family home. The worst thing that parents do is have an inability to control their own negative thoughts and feelings about their ex-husband or wife. And they have an inability, as I also had at different times that I recognized, to not say, you know, anything nice about that person. We, as the adults, we get so caught up in our pain, we drop comments, we say things, and then the children start to shut down. They don't want to talk about daddy in case that upsets mummy, and vice versa. And so these children are just under this pressure that we create for them to, you know, feel they can't express or they can't, you know, include a normal conversation. So, you know, there's so much harmful emotional, mental damage that happens through a divorce situation and also staying in a miserable marriage. And, you know, one of the most important things that I found was, you know, kind of really accessing their guilt and shame, the children thinking, is it me? If I'd been a better boy or girl, could things have been different? If I'd worked harder in school. So when I was interviewing them, it was the same messaging every country all the way through, which I suspected, but it was nice to have it confirmed because then I felt that this book, Kids of Divorce, really works, and all their stories are very easy to understand. And some of them are sad, but mostly what the children are coming with, and the children are aged 10 to 19 years old in this first book in Kids of Divorce, they're all coming with their wisdom. The children are saying, this is what happened, this is how I felt, here were my challenges, but these are some of the things I did. One of my 10-year-olds in the book, she's a twin, and her brother is the other side of the twin. And I wanted to interview brothers and sisters to show that even though these children are from the same family, how so significantly different can each child be affected by the same parents divorcing? And so this little girl of 10, her father, he left the home when her mother had a serious brain tumor. The dad could not handle being around a sick mother who obviously serious brain tumor, probably was going through very mental, emotional times, but the father exited the house. And this really traumatized these little 10-year-old twins. So the girl twin, what she decided to do was try and work with her dad. He would say, I want to teach you how to surf. He was so insistent on enforcing what he was good at in her world. And so in the book, she says, all I wanted was my daddy to go to the art store, buy me pens, paper, felt tips, colors, paint, so I could sit down and I could show him, this is what I like. This is how I need to connect with you in this new way of living, you having left the home. But the dad only wanted to enforce his own self in that, you know, situation. So that was what she was dealing with. And she's 14 now. She's still dealing with anger from that. Her brother, a lot of children, they get stuck on a story. So you'll say, why did your parents get divorced? And at 10 years old, his answer was, well, my mother was sick and my dad forgot to buy her soup. And so she said, can you go out and get me the soup? And he said no. And so they had a fight and the mother slapped the dad and the grandmother came in and broke up the argument. But what stayed in that little 10-year-old's mind was, mommy and daddy got divorced because daddy wouldn't get mommy soup while she was sick. But of course that isn't, but that's what children do. They grab onto a story, it makes some kind of sense, and that becomes their inner dialogue, their inner journey, their inner story. And so I did some therapy with this little guy, and I helped him see that it wasn't about the soup, that's what he remembers, and help him kind of release that trauma from his body. And then he was connected to a group I work with called Kids Turn. And Kids Turn is a divorce company that have mom and dad do individual classes. The kids go, everyone comes together. There's a graduation. The mom and dad write letters to each other and they honor the child in between them or the children in between them. So these are some of the great, beautiful tools that we have in the world to support children of divorce. And it's interesting, Dr. Fujan, when you said about you being a six-year-old little girl and your parents divorcing and you felt that that was something, you know, that was you know, good for them. And as an adult, you know, and a smart woman, you know, obviously you have more deeper thought on that, you know, being a therapist yourself.
You were talking and I was looking at my own experience, I was 5 when my parents got divorced. I remember that the fights before the divorce was the horrified concept. The divorce was, there's a relief from the fights. The fights, the arguments, the physical contacts, the yelling, the screaming. I remember I had horror dreams, recurring dreams about their fights all the way until I was like 13 or 14. So 7 years, 8 years after the divorce, I was traumatized about their fighting, not about their divorce. And that's the whole point, which is I hope that parents capture that it's their fighting. It's the way that they are together that really damages the children, whether they're married or divorced. Because if they are even cordial, if they're respectful, if they, you know, are cooperative after their divorce, so their children can actually have both mommy, both daddy, like you said yourself, they don't say bad stuff about them and negative stuff about them. People, you know, kids are resilient. They learn how to live in two homes and they have fun in two homes, and they'll even, you know, get sometimes, although at the beginning, upset. But if they figure that their parents are happy with another human being and they have other people who come to their lives and love them, they're resilient and handle it. What they can't handle, what any child can't handle, is the grown-ups war together and that they are at the mercy of and completely powerless against. And that can be under the name of marriage or the process of separation or divorce, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. It's so true how they treat each other, how the child is witnessing, you know, the fighting. Because they're challenging the child's core. If mom and dad are fighting, that is the most frightening, the most unsettling. Everything safe that was ever known from birth to those moments become completely unsafe. And, you know, it depends so much on how the parents behave. One of the kids in my book is a brother and sister, little boy called Snoop. He was 15 when I interviewed him. His dad did such a great job of making sure that he was sleeping on the sofa the night before any big event, a birthday, a Christmas, it didn't matter what. The dad made certain that he was there for his two children, who were both in my book, Kids of Divorce. So much so that years later, the dad met another woman, and they just had a little boy about 3 years ago now. And so both the children, because they'd had their dad in a positive way and the mom and dad made an effort to be friends after their divorce, the children accepted that little boy. That little new baby boy born from another woman's body was not a threat. Now, his sister had a hard time at first when she found out that her dad's girlfriend was pregnant, because it said to her, your mom and dad are never, ever getting back together again. And I have learned, having met with so many children, it is a deep-rooted wish that so many kids have that their mom and dad, regardless, might one day unite. Yes. And so that is a very successful example, and that's why it's in my book, of how parents can learn to behave, be there for the children, get their own angst and upset and blame and shame out of the way, so the children grow up with a happier landscape in their mind, then they can navigate more of what life, you know, life throws at them. One of my other clients, married, two children, lovely husband, still together, she called me and said, Danny, I brought your book. And I thought, that's so nice. Thank you. You didn't need to. She goes, no. She goes, oh, my God, I have cried for 2 days straight. She herself was a kid whose mom and dad got divorced. And until she read my book and read the stories of other children, she did not realize she'd never accessed her own divorce pain. And so that's what ELF Kids of Divorce has done for her and other adults. Because we've got to have somewhere to go to connect, to be able to release the things that we keep inside that oftentimes we don't even know are in there.
Yeah. Very much, very much. We don't. Children don't have the capacity to share all that's going on. They give it to you in excerpts in what's going on at that moment. And each child, depending on their age, they have an understanding, a particular episode or things that they could experience about the divorce. They don't know the whole story. They'll never know the whole story, but depends, like if they're 1 year old, 3 year old, 5, 10, 11, you know, 13, 14, 19, or 25 or 30, I think each age, it has a different impact on them because of their own developmental stage, their own fears. and whether they have the ability to still be at home or they have the ability not to be at home, it all affects them differently. So it's great to have an understanding, but also be responsible for your own relationship as a mate, as a parent, where you decided to get married, you're deciding to have conflicts, you're deciding to separate or divorce or work on your conflicts, and that marriage and whatever the two of you do, it's not anything that your children have a power to or access to. They are the effect of it. So the more that you are respectfully responsible for that relationship, whether it stays or you decide to leave, you've got to get the effect that it has and that you're responsible for that effect. But most people only think about, okay, I just won't get divorced. But it doesn't mean that I can't stand the person, but I just won't get divorced and I'll tolerate them in our home just to have one roof. And that is not something that has a more positive effect on children. If all you think it works is, okay, let's just all stick to one resident, but not change anything about our behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely right. I did a whole list of, it's called Tips for Parents in the back of the book, and tips for them, like things that are so massive to a child. And here's one of the best tips I could ever give to a couple who've got divorced. If your child says to you, I want a photograph of my dad in my bedroom, you allow that. You allow that. And I'm also talking from experience, because when I got divorced, I was so upset. It took me a while to kind of get through, even though it was something I actually wanted. But you don't know the fallout as a parent of the things that can go wrong, you know, when you become a single parent. And I remember my little boy, he was 5. He said, I want a picture of my daddy in my room. And my first thought internally was, oh, my God, no way. I don't want to see his face. You know what I mean? We had these really childish, angry thoughts. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, how could I not give that to my child? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I allowed him a beautiful photograph of him and his dad, put it up on the wall. And what I realized was my son woke up every day. The first thing he would see is his daddy and him in a happy picture and a happy memory. And it made my son feel safe. And then after about 3 days, when I would go in his bedroom, I wouldn't even see that photo anymore.
Right.
And it is, you know, those kind of things where we got to get out of our own, he did this and she did that, and think about how can we, you know, soften that landscape, that emotional landscape that these children are traversing. What can we do to show up for them?
Yes. And remember that we are divorcing the person. They're not divorcing their father or mother. We are exactly. divorcing our mate. They will always, always have a relationship with their parents, whether they're in their life or not. And all of us know that regardless of whether our parents are in our life or not, they are in our head. They are symbolically always somehow with us. Even if they're neglecting us, we will always have the idea of what if and the wish, because every one of us comes with that concept of the genetic concept of having a father or a mother. And whether they're healthy or not, whether they're here or not, whether they passed away or not, whether they live and they're not with us, the idea and the cloud, let's say, of them are always hovering. So knowing that in a marriage and a divorce, if I'm saying goodbye to my mate, that doesn't mean that the child is also saying goodbye to their father or their mother. They will always be the child of that person, and they will always somehow symbolically or physically and emotionally are somehow bonded. And if they're not bonded, they're angry that they're not bonded. They're wounded that they're not bonded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, another really amazing tip that I lived and I, you know, because everything I do, it's I've experienced it or I've worked with families who've gone through it. It's not something that's a concept that it hasn't been kind of lived through in my lifetime. And when I was going through my divorce, what I decided to do was get out of the attachment of it's my daughter's birthday tomorrow. And then say my ex-husband would want to spend the day with her. So what I did was we had two of everything. We had two Christmases. We had two Christmas Eves. We had two birthdays. You know, so the children got double. But neither parent was left out on that special day if we couldn't communicate. And there's a lot of people that do that now and have done that for a long time. And that's something else, again, that helps that child have the parent, have the day, not have those life events so damaged or to look back and have any anger or pain. But they're seeing two people, two adults that they love, work together, try to come together to support their children.
Absolutely. You know, marriage makes us grow up, but divorce certainly makes us grow up. Or I prefer to say, please grow up, like we have to in order when we have kids. Now, before we end, I really want you to also talk about the new documentary. I saw the trailer and it was really impressive. So I want everybody, all our audience, to hear about the documentary. So tell us about that.
I'm so excited about this film. The first book is Kids of Divorce, the second is Kids of Religion. And again, I'm ignoring adults and giving these kids more of a voice. I mean, I don't give them the voice. They have their own voices. And I thought, how can I reach more people? How can I get these kids and teenagers messages for us to learn and grow out there more? And I thought, I'll make a documentary. And I basically had three main men that I wanted and three main women. And I thought, I'll go for the men first. I wanted Stedman Graham, Oprah Winfrey's partner, because most people don't know what level of work that man does for our youth across the planet. And I got involved with a program that he's involved in and saw, you know, this man and what he does and thought, my God, we need his program in every single school across the whole planet. And basically 1 week a year, there is a program where every kid is, all they think about for that week is their purpose and their mission. What do they love to do? So I got him, that I met with Jack Canfield at a conference, and I pitched my Kids Soul Speak platform to him. He's like, Danny, this is amazing. This needs to be all around the world. Here's my card. How can I help you? And I said, I would love you to gift a message of love to our global youth. That's it. And so he did it. I've already filmed with him. And then Dr. Michael Beckwith, in my other book, The African American Kid, because I grew up, I'm white, but I grew up in a blended family, tons and tons of cousins and foster children from Nigeria, you know, 10 of them were adopted. So that's been my normal. So I spent a lot of time with Dr. Michael Beckwith, who is the beautiful African American particular man in the movie The Secret. He used to have long dreadlocks. Now he's shaved them off. So I spent a lot of time working with his teen ministry. And he also gifted the most beautiful message, powerful message to our youth, which you would have seen in my trailer. And then there are so many children and teenagers and with messages. They're powerful. One of my little girls, she has no kidneys. She has end-stage renal disease. And so I made a video with her asking for a live donor so that people can hear that while these children are dying at home every day on dialysis waiting for a donor, all of us can gift one of our kidneys. It's like we have a spare kidney. And so we made the video. We got three live kidney donors for Mackenzie.
Wow.
And, you know, when you hear those stories, this is why Kids Soul Speak documentary is so important, because there's so many incredible messages in this film that are going to help people go, oh, my goodness, I could do this. I could support this. I could be this. Wow, this is part of my healing journey. Oh, I need this book. You know, it's just a beautiful, universal, global platform.
Beautiful. Where can we see the full documentary? Is it ready yet? Is it on air?
It's not ready. We're still filming and editing. And we just have two more women, global influencers, that every single person, pretty much, unless you're in deepest, darkest India somewhere and you've never, ever seen a phone, but these two women in particular, you would definitely know. So we've got some tape to go through, and we're still editing. And then what we're doing is we're getting Mackenzie ready for her transplant operation. And because we filmed the video, there's a clip of that. There's a clip of her donor. His name is Steve, making his video saying, I'm going to get tested to be a donor. And then I want to include the actual transplant in the film. And so Mackenzie's on blood thinners right now, so I'm not rushing the end of it until we have that beautiful piece included to, so that, you know, there'll be millions of parents around the world that see that in particular, you know, alongside everything else and think, oh my gosh, I had no idea I could do this, you know?
And where could we see it when it's done? Is it only on your website, or is it going to be on YouTube? Are you going to put it on, you know, give it to, I don't know, Netflix, HBO? Is it going to be showing somewhere?
Yeah. So what we're doing, it's going to be shown in local theaters in certain places. It's going to be on my website to be able to be viewed, streamed and purchased. And also it hasn't been signed off yet because it's not done, but it's probably more than likely going to go on Netflix as the final.
Nice.
As the final decision, because there are so many others now, Hulu, etc. But I don't need to force that decision or rush it. The quality and the beauty of this documentary will speak for itself, and the beautiful people in it and the children in it. You know, there are children in the film who were told, the parents were told, you're just going to be brain dead, blind, you'll never have a life. And three children who were told that their parents were like, you know what, put your kid in a home, they're in this film. Wait until you see them. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And that is so exciting. I'm excited to wait to see it.
Oh, thank you.
We only have a couple more minutes. Danielle, I want you to also talk about the two other books that are coming up in 2019. One is about African-American kid, and another one is The Kid of Religion. Can you talk a little bit about what those two books will be about?
Yes. So The African-American Kid is, again, 11 short stories from kids age 4 to 19 years old. And they're talking about how they want to be seen in the world. If they were president of this country, what would they change, improve, delete? There are so many indigenous, even though Africans aren't indigenous to America, you know, they came in the slave trade, we know that. But the point is, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. Your stories from your ancestors and your great-grandparents are every bit as important as anywhere else on the planet. And I'm not okay with how many indigenous people around the planet or minorities, whatever you want to label, are not allowed or are told to shut down their stories. That's not okay on my watch. So I'm encouraging a lot of the kids to share their ancestral and great-grandparents' stories in this book. And it is beautiful. And it's just this revolution of these kids recognizing, no one's going to take my roots, my history, or my heritage from me. So that's part of one of the reasons for me creating the kid, the African-American kid. And then the next book after that is Kids of Religion. So I have Muslim, you know, strict Muslim children in the book saying to Jewish Orthodox, Catholics, Christians, they're saying, I am a Muslim, and this is what my religion gives me, and this is what I would love you to know about my religion. So that each religion is exposed for having love at its core. It's only the adults and the religious freaks and the horrible, controlling, powerful personnel on the planet who've destroyed and murder in the name of religion every day. I'm like, how can we get to the soft, loving soul of religions around the world? And that's what the book Kids of Religion is all about.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. What is the 1 minute statement that you would like for our audience and listeners to get from you, from all of your experience throughout these years as a therapist, as someone who's worked with kids, as someone who allows the safety of the kids to speak their soul to you? What is the message that you actually want to give?
The biggest message is you matter. Your voice matters. What you think matters. And no one can take that inner you. No one can take your soul. That's yours. No matter what adults say, it is not true. You own you. You know, and Kids Soul Speak is a universal platform for kids and teens to share their personal stories on change, loss, magic, healing, and beauty, but to have their voice be heard without anyone shutting it down.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for the time you've taken to be on my show, Danielle Henderson. That you can find, where can they find you? What is the website?
KidsSoulSpeak.com.
KidsSoulSpeak.com. You can find Danielle Henderson and her books, and hopefully the documentary. You get a documentary trailer on the website also. For all of you who were with us, thank you. I truly feel grateful and blessed to have all of you be a listener. Please send us a note so that we know how we're doing, and give us your thoughts and ask questions and all of the great ways that we could connect to you. Create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. Bye-bye.